This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
This isn't just a game. It's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Ever wonder what's really behind the headlines? Or why certain theories just won't go away? Dive into the world of The No Name Podcast, your go-to podcast for unraveling the mysteries of conspiracies, politics, and everyday life. Each week, we blend our opinions, analysis, with some storytelling to uncover the hidden layers of our world. From the latest political intrigue to the most fascinating conspiracy theories, we bring you a balanced dose of skepticism and insight. Whether you're a seasoned critical thinker or just curious about the whispers that swirl around us, we offer a space where your questions are welcome and your mind can wander freely. Tune in, spark your curiosity, and let's embark on this journey of discovery together. The No Name Podcast, where every episode is a new chance to think critically and see the world through a different lens. Don't miss out. Subscribe today and join the conversation.
Hey, this is Jeremy.
What's up, everybody? It's Dustin.
It's your boy Trey in the building.
And today we have Dustin's cousin, Caitlin.
Hey, everybody.
What's up?
We wanted to welcome everybody to the No Name Podcast this week. We got a cool episode kind of touching on spirituality mixed in environmental or something. Was that what it was? I messed it up already. I don't
Goodness. You with the jokes already. Gotta love you.
Naturalism.
Naturalism. Okay, there we go.
Spiritualism. I just call it spiritualism. Spiritualism. Naturalism, whatever you want to call it.
You know me, I've never been a great one with words, but you know.
Right. Good.
Let's just start off, though, by saying that we wish we were on good old Rocky Top down in the Tennessee hills. Smoggy smoke on Rocky Top.
I wouldn't mind living in Tennessee, but I will never root for a Tennessee. So, you know, I would love to retire there one day. That would be pretty
Tennessee
sweet.
Is where you want to retire?
I hope I can.
Tennessee?
I mean, just the mount. I mean, if it wasn't Tennessee, even North Carolina, North Georgia, I'm good with it.
Where the hell do you want to go?
Hilton Head.
Hilton Head.
Hilton Head.
That's what all the old folks are anyway.
Man, oh my gosh.
I've never understood the concept of the beach. And here's why.
What you mean? The concept of the beach.
Listen. Here's why. Because I've worked outside a lot in my life. And I'm going, to me, what is fun about sitting in the hot sun?
That part.
All day.
Let me tell you.
Not in the shade at all. I'm just going to sit on the beach in the shade and sweat.
Trey can say whatever he wants, but he has one huge advantage over me and you. And that is he does not have to worry about the burn.
Not as bad.
Not as bad.
I've been jet skiing and then looked at my whole shoulder. I'm like, what is this rash? It's like, oh, you have a heat burn. And then my skin literally peels off. I'm like,
That sounds terrible.
But I don't have to put on as much sunscreen.
Yeah, I'm telling you what.
I'm just going to be honest. I've never felt right asking. I would never feel right asking, do you get sunburnt?
Yes, yeah, I have skin.
That sounds racist.
No, it doesn't. No, okay, so, okay. And as we progress into the episode,
it's not racist. It's,
I said it sounds. It doesn't if sound you good, don't, Jeremy.
If you don't know, and let's say for instance, I always tell people, you are what your cultural experiences are, right?
Yeah.
And if you never experienced another culture deep dive or been around it a lot, then you have the right to ask.
Well, I'm just saying, I ask grew the right up people. Around just ask my the right whole people. Life. But I mean, I'm saying, I heard somebody ask somebody that one time in school, and that girl looked at him and said, "What the? You think?"
Well, and see,
and he's like, I'll never ask that. No, and you I'll ask, never ask that.
You ask friends in private.
Yeah, you like, ask a friend. I mean, I asked it on a podcast. I mean, I didn't even ask it. I just told you because I already know.
Right.
You know, but because I asked.
And just like off mic, I was sharing some of my cultural experiences that just was forced upon me.
I mean, you were telling me about some of my cultural experiences that I'm uncomfortable
with. I'll tell you.
I don't want any part of it. Oh, my God.
I will say this. When I had a black daughter, I learned how to take care of her hair.
See, you are already better than me. I mean, don't touch it.
That was a huge learning thing.
It is. And yeah. I don't touch my daughter's hair.
Yeah, I don't blame you. No. I mean, that's
too much.
That's too much. Yeah, that's a lot.
Let her be free.
All right. Well, I don't know. I guess Caitlin, if you want to take us in here, what we're looking at today.
So,
I was going to say, I think you can start off by just kind of sharing your story of how did you, or when did you first learn that you were waking up, so to speak.
So, it was more of like a connective thing, like you feel different. You feel like maybe you're searching for something or that's outward. And it first started with like trying to find ancestry and where we came from and like the lineage of all of that. And like just feeling like I was needing to be at home and I just didn't feel at home where I was, even though I've lived where I grew up my whole life. And it was just, I went down this whole deep dive of going into like ancestry and sending my DNA off to be tested, which, you know, scared me to death.
Hey, we got a sidebar. Did you see the 23andMe?
Yeah, they had it. I didn't do that one. I did Ancestry.com.
Yes.
Yeah. Did you see the breakout they just had?
No, like, what do you mean breakout?
Like they had the data.
I'm not worried about that.
Yeah, she saw that.
Yeah.
You saw it? Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not worried about that.
We talked about it. All the board members.
Yeah, we talked about it on the show. About, you know, they were trying to convince me that 23andMe is okay. And I'm like,
no, I said, I did Ancestry.com.
They're all the same.
We didn't convince you that they're okay. What I said was, is they all have your DNA
Nope. As we did Ancestry.com. So continue. Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Safe so far.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Right. So,
you said that. I was like,
yeah, exactly.
totally sad. Check Jeremy.
Well, my brother did 23andMe.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
because he has like a autoimmune or something like mm-hmm. that, and that's why he did it. He's always thinking there's something wrong,
right?
But I was doing it to try to track down my lineage, see where like we came from, because I always felt very connected to Ireland, Scotland, like that part of the country, and I just wanted to know. I felt like I needed to know because I wanted to go back there.
Were you from there though? Did you find out where are you from?
Well, see, that's the thing.
Okay.
My tree, as you know, you've used Ancestry, like you have to get little clues.
Right.
And you click on the clues and you go through and you figure out who actually is related to you.
Right.
And while you're doing that, you have to like contact other people in your family to, you know, verify. So I went through all of that, and the clues just cut off completely, nothing else after like whenever it started getting into like the 1600s, like 1690s, 1700s.
Like your family didn't exist anymore?
Yes. Like there was like no more clues. There was nothing else for me to click on. And I'm like, why? But what is up with that? And so I just found that very strange. And I'm like, there has to be a reason. And so
Are you an alien? No, just don't. Like, did you get dropped here? Did you find out?
We haven't found out yet. No, we haven't found out yet.
Are y'all kidding me?
No.
But the cool part is,
and I have the app on my phone. You want to see?
I mean, we can definitely see in between. Wait, hold on. You can't just breeze past this. So your family legacy stops in the 1600s. There's nothing. Nope. No more information.
I haven't looked into it yet. She told me that, and I was like, you know, we got to look into it more, but
So we kind of went down a rabbit hole.
We've kind of went down a rabbit hole with each other too, because when we started reconnecting and everything, that's whenever I started remembering a lot of the stuff that I had suppressed when I was a kid about my spirituality and how I was connected to the earth as well. And I started remembering things, and it was just, I mean, it's hard to explain too, like the certain memories, how they connect. Yeah, it's freaky, man. It is.
I'm writing.
But some of the stuff that we've talked about and connected to, we're just kind of piecing it together ourselves and asking other family members stuff too. But
right, but you can only go so far because the older generation is now gone.
They're dying off.
So what did you discover as far, I mean, if you can only go to the 1600s, and what did y'all discover about your spirituality? I know you were sharing a little bit before, and then I guess similar. Are y'all having like the same similar spiritual experiences, or?
I mean, recently, since we reconnected, kind of.
Okay, explain. What are some of these spiritual experiences?
So whenever I first, it's kind of strange to describe, but I was having dreams, you would say.
Okay.
And it was about a memory that I had whenever me and Dustin were little. And it was whenever we were in front of his grandparents' house, which were my great grandparents. And we're sitting out on the swing and we're just chilling, just like kids, just playing. And I am not in my body. I'm overseeing this memory. So I see us down there and I hear us talking about a tree that's like across the road, and it's like an old tree. And we start talking about how much history it's seen and what it's experienced and things like that. And I just kept having this dream on my own for several nights.
The same dream.
Yeah. And it was just like I'm supposed to be getting something out of this. I'm trying to be told something. And so I only seen Dustin at like funerals, which is an awful place to reconnect.
Normal family stuff.
That's normal family.
Right.
I mean, that's usually when we have our reunions. Well,
right. Which is the worst
like
thing.
Funeral and a reunion. All
right. Right. Yeah. So, we started, I finally just reached out to Dustin and was like, hey, It's just weird. I was like, I just want to ask you.
This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
Two questions. And so I just asked him a few questions, kind of told him where like I stood, and like I just kept having this dream over and over. And then it's like the same night that I reached out to Dustin, he had the exact same dream.
And I could describe things in my dream.
Did you tell him the dream?
Not like in specifics. I told him that.
I had a dream.
Yeah.
So I started telling her specifics on little things that I saw, and she was like, oh, yes, that's exactly what I saw.
So she don't tell you the dream. She just said, I had this dream. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. And you say, okay, yeah, cool. You go to sleep, and you have the same dream.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And he'll text me the next morning.
I text, oh my gosh,
I have to tell you this and this.
Are you having the same repetitive dream too?
No, not anymore. Yeah, my dreams have been completely different since. It's odd because they're not really dreams. Like when I actually go to sleep, I don't dream. So, but if I meditate, that's when I see these.
And they're
when you say see these, what do you mean?
That's when I see these visions of it's all, it's like a dream, but it's very vivid. Where, like she said, it's like I'm out of body and I'm watching it. Like,
okay, so more like astral projection type dreams. Yes. So exactly. It's not like I'm dreaming about Burger King.
Right.
Wake
no.
up.
Uh-uh. Right. No,
that's usually my dream.
Not at all.
We dream of them cheeseburgers, you know.
The only time where it's not that way, where I'm actually watching myself do it and I'm actually there experiencing, is whenever I was my recent ones where I'm talking to this old man.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys didn't grow up together, right? It was
we hung out sometimes, but not every day. It was like
just randomly.
Yeah, randomly.
So over. Is the dream like about one of your family members, or was it about something different?
Which one? Like
the first one that you're talking about.
It's just being her.
Okay.
Yeah, it's literally like, and I was trying to explain to him, I'm like, there's something here and I'm missing it. Mm-hmm. I was like, I can feel that I'm missing it. And so, like, I was like, I need your help.
Right.
And, you know, at first I was like, you know, he's not going to understand. He's not, you know.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, I know exactly what you're talking about. And I'm like,
yeah, because okay. I had never told anybody in my family, because I was like, if I tell people this kind of stuff, they're going to think that I'm crazy. You know what I mean?
Right. Or laugh they're at not you, gonna judge believe. You, that kind of thing.
So I'm laying out this for the audience.
Okay.
This is blowing my mind. I'm trying to catch it.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
So, yeah, I grew up traditional family sense, like only seeing your cousins.
Yeah.
Family reunion. Right. Maybe they come over for Sunday dinner blue moon.
Yeah.
Just you know, when they want to feel like a family, right?
Right.
But then y'all both have astro dream projection experiences. Has anybody else in your family? Oh, and hold on, let me put this as a caveat, because to me, this is the most interesting part. We still don't know exactly where your family is from.
Right. We have ideas.
Not the origin.
And see, and see, that's unique for me because, you know, obviously me being African American, my traditional family sense is a little jaded, a little bit through history for obvious reasons. But the fact that y'all can't find yours is then y'all both are having these astral projection dreams. I just wonder.
Yeah, we kind of have an idea.
What you got? I'm curious.
We have an idea of
it's
where.
It's a rabbit hole.
Yeah, it's just a rabbit hole. So we have no proof or nothing.
Yeah.
But we've also been told from different people, you know, we came from here and we came from here and we came from here.
Are any of those places where people were doing, or I guess, writing about this type of stuff?
I don't know that.
For sure. We don't know that for sure.
Mm.
But we do know that we have ties to like the Native Americans.
Native Americans, pagans like Scotland, Ireland, things like that.
Celtics?
Yeah.
Celtics used to do stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And you guys were talking about the beach or something like that. Like, I could not survive on a beach. I would never be able to.
Yeah, I'm too pale.
Retire.
I mean, you won't be pale anymore. Trust me.
I have freckles all over the place. Yeah. So I would just.
You'll be all right.
Multiply my freckles.
The beach heals.
The sun heals. It does. Beach.
The salt water.
Well, both.
Ocean heals.
You can pee in the ocean for free. You can. Drink the water for free?
I don't think you can drink the water.
Hey, be easy, everybody. I didn't say it would be good for you.
Do you drink the water when you go to the ocean?
I do whatever my heart desires because I'm in my safe space. All right,
oh my
beach
gosh.
Is my safe space.
Do you know what the fish do in that water?
Do you know what humans do in that water?
Yeah, that's the worst part.
You want to know? I really upset my kids. So I used to be into the saltwater fish tank hobby. Huge, okay. Mm-hmm. I used to have like 180 gallon saltwater tank, like the whole nine, you know, the reef tank. And when I took my kids to the beach for the first time, they're like, oh, look at all this foam at the front, you know, and they're playing in it. And I'm like, guys,
no.
I said, you ever seen my protein skimmer on my fish tank? They're like, yeah, it's so disgusting. I'm like,
that's
removing the pee and the poop from the fish.
Oh, all that white stuff that come up?
Yes.
Yeah, man.
That's what all the foam is from the ocean. That's the ocean's way of removing
so much tea.
All of that. All of the pee and the poop from the fish. You know, all the disgustingness.
Let's get away from the pee and the poop talk for a minute. You want to hear something else that was interesting about that dream, though?
Go ahead.
So I think I told you guys this off mic. Well, that was time like when I started telling you guys about all this, about how I used to see shadow people, right?
Okay.
Yeah. So.
Now you just say, I don't remember the shadow people.
Okay. Maybe I didn't tell you that. Maybe I told Jeremy that. But when I was growing up, even after this, even after me and her, like, had this moment on the swing set talking about the trees and stuff, later on, as I got older, I used to see shadow figures going up and down the hallways. They would like go up and down the hallways, down into the bathroom, come back up and down the hallways, down just out of my peripheral. And I remember I asked my grandmother about it one time, and she goes, "Those are just shadow people. They won't hurt you. They won't hurt you."
They're like it was fine. Normal. It's fine.
Like it's normal. Just kind of we're just going to brush it off.
What the flying flip?
We're just going to brush it off.
Hold on.
No. Wait. I'm not. This is where it connects in.
Uh-huh.
Because in our dream of where we can see us on the swing set, off behind of where that swing set's at, there was a basketball goal there.
Uh-huh.
And it caddy cornered. Next to that basketball goal, there's a black figure standing there watching us on the swings.
Same. It just gave me chills.
And so I'm going, yeah, it gave me chills.
Before Dustin saw it.
Yeah, it gave me chills.
In the dream.
Yeah, she saw the figure before I
did. But you never said nothing to him about the dream, the black figure.
I said something, I feel like something's watching us in the dream, but I didn't like give specifics as to what.
And then when I told her I saw the black figure there, I said, I can't see any facial features. I just see the outline of a person. And she's like, oh my God, yes, that's exactly what. And so, and I'm going, I used to see shadow people. I used to see a shadow figure all the time. Very tall shadow figure. I wonder if it's the same dude. Same exact shadow figure that I grew up seeing in the house on that property. You know what I mean? Come to find out, I got another cousin who saw a little boy on that property.
Like ghost?
Yeah, at one point. And this is before I ever was even born and stuff. So.
Okay. So I got to ask, because this is eerily similar, okay, to like some movies that I've seen. Not saying y'all took this from movies or anything like that, because I think movies reflect culture and realities of people, you know, that these writers bite off from people. Like, oh, man, they may listen to this podcast, some writer randomly from, you know, Hollywood, and they're going to write about it. And then next thing you know, you're like, hey, that's my story.
Right.
You'll get no credit for it because you can't prove it. But when I hear that, first of all, the dream, the king, I biblically think, I'm like, man, that sounds familiar, because King Nebuchadnezzar has a tree dream as well, but it's not the same, obviously. But then he needed somebody to interpret it. Daniel goes and interpret it, okay? And it was, you know, what Daniel said it would be. But then when I hear you talk about the shadow folks, the first thing I think about of astral projection is Insidious. Have y'all seen that movie? You seen it?
I don't know if I've seen it.
It seemed like a classical horror movie. But it's not. It's about this boy who can astral project. And what happens is he astral projects in his dream, and he gets too far away from his body that he gets untethered. And when he gets untethered from his body, a shadow figure, demon in this case, takes over his body and allows other demons, as it becomes a doorway for other demons to kind of hunt his family or whatever the case may be. And then somebody has to go back. They have to astral project and go find him in the shadow world.
What is this, his dad or something?
Yeah, I think it was dad. So when I hear y'all talk about this stuff, and you know, the conversation we had about demons and stuff, it's almost, and it reminds me of another movie where, I don't know if y'all know, I'm a horror movie fanatic, sorry. But in Paranormal Activity, I think you see it like on the fourth one, where long time ago, the family did something with the devil, and they have to wait. They only have girls, and they promise the devil that they'll have their first son, you know, first born son. But they don't have any sons up until this lady has one. And of course, the devil demons try to come get the boy, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And it seems like if your grandma's seeing the shadow folks, y'all seeing the shadow folks, other members on the family are seeing little hunting boys walking by, could it be in your family that something else is?
Well, that's what me and her was wondering, and I've started asking people in my family certain things, but like I found out that my aunt said that when her and her sister were kids, they played with a Ouija board. Yeah. And
that's a no-go for me, guys.
Yeah.
I mean,
absolutely.
And then she saw the same aunt that played with the Ouija board saw a ghostly lady woman in white come in staring at her brother on the bed, smiles at him, and then turns and walks out the room. And then when she asks my grandmother about it, her mom's just like, I don't know what you saw, but it's fine. Don't
We're
worry
just
about it.
Sweep it under the rug. It's fine.
And that's how my grandmother always was on things like that.
Is your grandma still alive now?
No.
See, that's what we're saying, though. Like, anybody.
My grandmother, too, before she passed, she used to see, she started seeing a lot of strange things before she died.
Like
but people. And I mean,
was this on the same property?
Yes. Same property where I grew up at. Yes.
Do y'all still own this property?
No.
No.
Oh, man.
No. They tore everything down.
Yeah. But
this podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more, and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
It's a new house.
But
I'd be interested to hear from those people.
Right.
I want to go.
Medically speaking, before my grandmother died, she was supposed to have a procedure too because they said she wasn't getting enough brain to her or enough oxygen to her brain. So medically speaking, that could cause that. But if you connect it to all the other stuff that happened in our family before that, that leads me to go, maybe it's not. Maybe it's more spiritual. Yeah, there's a lot of strange things that happen in our family, though.
I think.
Is it still happening?
To a degree.
Like, at your house, do you still see shadow people?
No.
You see shadow people? At your house? Or
no. Well,
I think y'all should ask those folks, can y'all spend a night at that property?
Or just ask them, are you guys experiencing anything strange?
Yeah.
That would be an interesting, question.
Oh, we should spend a night on that property.
Can we camp out here?
We're not going to be bothered. We're just doing research.
My aunt, the one that told me that her and her sister, messed with the Ouija board when they were kids and stuff, she did tell me that she is able to see spirits. That she's able to see.
Is she still alive now?
Dead people. Yes, she's still alive.
And she says she can see them now?
She says she can, yeah.
Now, are you two still dream connected?
I haven't had a dream like that in a while, but Trey was talking about astral projection, and I know that I can do that.
Can you still do it?
Yes, I can still do it.
Like, you intentionally can do it?
Yes, I can. Wow. Just because my husband, he had a dream, and sometimes I can't remember where I go, but once I wake up, it's like I feel like dizzy or like woozy or whatever. It's like I don't know, like something is like.
Do you feel rested? Like you're sleeping, obviously. Do you wake up and be like, oh, I'm tired because I've been traveling? Like, but you just wake up feeling these side effects?
I just wake up with the side effects sometimes. And sometimes I feel like, whoa, let's go.
Right.
Like, it's just like a boost of like, whew. Can
you remember where you went and did?
Absolutely. Like I was talking about with my husband, he had a dream that we were like at a waterfall.
Right.
And, like something from the movies with the waterfall and the pool of water and like we're down there swimming or whatever. And my husband says, did you hear that? And I look into his eyes and I put my hand on his shoulder and I say, it's time to wake up.
In the dream?
Yes, in the dream. I'm like, okay, it's time to wake up, baby. You need to wake up now. And we both woke up like very.
At the same time?
Yes, almost.
That is weird.
At the same time. And he sits up in the bed immediately and he goes, did you seriously just wake me up? And I was like, yeah, I did. And he's like, in my dream? And I'm like, yeah, I did. And he was like, don't do that crap. He's like, don't do that crap.
Okay, now I'm. You know what, Jeremy, you might like this. You like stuff like this. Y'all remember the stuff that they used to say that the CIA was venturing off and trying to get people to do stuff? Like, you kind of see it in Stranger Things a little bit.
The MKUltra?
Yeah, MKUltra. And I wonder if they did get a group of people, or if we push the narrative here, that it's people that can naturally do it, and it's people that all of us human beings can do it, but it's people who naturally do it, and it's people who can be beaten to death almost to do it.
Well, I mean, the fact that their heritage can't be traced back, maybe they're a product. No, I'm just kidding.
Hey, that was crazy. I'm leaning with aliens here. I think it was dropped off. I think
you're 100% right, though, because, I think there are people, I mean, we've talked about it before, that spiritually you're you know, you're awakened. I mean, you know, when you look at it, like from a church standpoint, a lot of times they say you have to work on your gift of like, you know, tongues or whatever, you know, and prophecy, everything else. And then, you know, some people have to work at it and then some people just have it.
Right.
And, you know, you could kind of be in the same realm where, you know, it could be one of those things where you just, you know, you have it. Your family has it. You're brought up in it. You're just part of it, you know, and then to me, it sounds like there's something with this property that you grew up on, you know, because it sounds like that's where a lot of the, you know, a lot of the things were taking place, you know, and I would love to know the history of that property. Yeah, like, you know, too. before you guys owned it, whose was it? You know, that kind of thing, you know, and, you know, I don't know if there's an online way of finding out a lot of that information now. You know, back in the day, you used to have to go to the county and start going through books or whatever, but yeah, you know,
I mean, now we didn't own that property where I grew up. We rented.
Right.
And we grew up in a trailer. I was poor.
Yeah.
I mean, but I can't speak for Dustin, but I know that my gifts have followed me wherever I go.
Yeah.
It's not,
well, I'm not saying that your gifts are tied to that property, but what I'm saying is a lot of the stuff seems to have happened about that property, which, you know, kind of makes you wonder what's going on with that piece of property, you know, whether it's, because I mean, there's been plenty of, you know, haunted properties where people have, you know, and I've seen plenty of movies about it too, where, you know, they've torn down the house and then they built like a neighborhood and then you got like the, you know, the whole neighborhood is quote unquote haunted or whatever, you know, where it's just, there's all these different scenarios that go along because whatever that happens on that property, you know, the spirit or whoever stays on that property
of the land.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I wonder,
because of the new house,
did the house or the property rather trigger your gifts?
Right.
I'm not sure. We don't really know what all happened on that land. I mean, that, cause that property was pretty old, but the person who did own that property, they had lived there for as long as I could remember that they lived there, you know? And at one point him and his wife lived in a house behind the trailer that we lived. And then they tore that house down and moved across the street up on a hill. So I don't really know what all happened over there before they did that. I mean, who knows?
Well, I mean, you know what a spiritual awakening is. Yeah, I mean, what Trey's talking about could be exactly what it is that property may have been what kind of spiritually awoken you or whatever.
Yeah.
Because,
yeah,
you know, I know that you had talked to me, you know, in a, if you want me to cut this out, I will, if it's too deep. But, you know, you had talked to me before about how one of your concerns was that, you know, talking about what you're talking about makes you unchristian.
Yeah.
Where I see the exact opposite. I think it actually is exactly what they talk about in the Bible, from, you know, being one with nature all the way through, you know, dreams, signs, wonders, the whole nine. The thing that they teach you about in the Bible is that you don't follow those things, right? You know, that's not what your worship is not the signs and the wonders. That's not what you follow. It's about what you, you know, what you see through it and what you interpret it to. Yeah.
Don't worship the gift.
Right. You don't worship the gift. You know. Right.
So what I was saying too, as far as being awakened, like reawakening, because these are things that I thought at a very early age, in a very young age, I thought a specific way. And I thought a certain thing. And then as I'm getting older, I'm told, no, that's not real. These are real. This stuff's real. That stuff's not real. This is what you're supposed to believe. It goes this way.
It's the same thing.
But I don't think it's a,
but who's teaching you that? Is that a church thing?
I think everybody teaches everybody that. I think me personally, I feel like, and this is what I always thought when I was younger, I think that we are all given a gift of some kind.
Absolutely.
Now, whether you are in tune with that gift, I don't know. Maybe you were with me, I was at one point, and it got suppressed and I forgot all.
What quote unquote religion were you raised in?
I was raised in the Baptist.
That's why.
Like Southern Baptist or regular Baptist?
Yeah.
Or
Southern,
like,
Baptist.
Southern Baptist.
We had staff.
Baptist Southern, and Southern Baptist
are two different.
Completely different.
I was
different.
Raised in Southern Baptist. So I was always, the reason I never told anybody my certain beliefs or what I felt and how I was connected to this and that is because they look down on it as, when I said they're going to think of it as not being Christian or not believing in God, they look at that stuff. They have a bad outlook on it.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's the Southern Baptist. What about you? Are you in the same Southern Baptist, Caitlin?
I went to the same church, yeah.
Okay.
What I have a different experience.
What about you?
I grew up, and see, here's the difference. I grew up in a mix where I grew up Pentecostal. Like I said, my mom was at the house casting out demons.
Mm-hmm.
I've been at churches where they shout it from the first song until it's time to go. I've been at churches like that where you don't say anything but amen. And amen better be like, amen. It better be no extra to it. I've been in, because I just grew up in a lot of mix. And I was always taught, if you have gifts, you know, if you was a kid, if y'all was like and grew up around me with these gifts, y'all would have been like revered almost.
Yeah.
Because it'd be like, oh, we gotta nurture them. We gotta promote. We gotta
bring them up.
Yeah. This is gonna be used for the kingdom of God, and we're gonna make sure you know how to use the gift. We're gonna promote you. We're gonna make sure that, you know, Satan doesn't use you to
fight support.
Yeah, yeah. It would have been totally different.
Yeah, same.
I've never been supported.
Yeah, like, same, because I grew up in non-denomination. So non-denomination is basically a little bit of this, a little bit of that.
They would have wanted to talk the demons out of me.
Yeah, I mean,
they would have wanted to do it.
You're asking too many questions.
Yeah,
I mean,
he's got to be possessed, and he's hearing voices.
Kill me.
That's what they were saying. That's exactly what they would say. He's hearing voices. Right. He's hearing demons.
And which church? Or older church though. Like,
yeah,
like the youngest person may have been y'all, right? Like,
young people were us.
Yeah. And see, and what I've learned is a lot of, even now, a lot of older folks, I always tell, I keep my mind open. I'm never going to close to, because I can't speak to what God is doing. I'm not sovereign. So I always tell people, when people tell me something, I look at them like, let me go back to the Bible. Let me see scriptures. Have I seen this before? I know Joel says that in the end days of the last times, you know, sons will have visions and daughters have dreams. I may be mixing it up a little bit. And so I know that is a gift. I know it's going to be out there. But then what the church tends to do overall is when people come say, hey, I got this gift and it's weird, and, you know, they don't understand it, and they bring it to the one.
This podcast is supported by The Real Real. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The Real Real.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The Real Real? Game changer. I earn more, and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell. Fast. To our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The Real Real than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The Real Real. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
Place that probably should understand it, but because most pastors don't study or appreciate stuff like this, because they don't, you know, I always tell people, I don't want the gift of tongues, but I'm not going to shut it down as far as, I'm not going to say people can't do it.
So what does that mean, the gift of tongues? What is that?
So in a church standpoint, it's a heavily
Pentecostal.
A heavy language that no one is supposed to understand between but God and an interpreter. So like you may have...
Would you say like maybe light language?
What did you call it?
Light language?
Light language.
Yeah, like the light from the sun, the white light.
This is my first time hearing
this. Yeah, I've never heard of that
before. Yeah, so you have to break it down for me. Yeah, just what is light language?
So it's... It's difficult. I don't know that much about it.
Okay.
But from what I gather, it's like, so like whenever you stand in the sun, you were talking about on the beach, like you can feel like the rays on you or whatnot. So whenever like you're in, you're balanced, you're like, centered, it's one of those where you receive messages from the sun. The only way you can do that is through like the rays of the sun, the light.
Do you sound different?
Absolutely.
Like so for instance, in tongues, it's some debate to this, by the way. So I'm gonna speak from my jaded point of view. And so when we see it in Pentecost, in Acts, all of the believers, the Christian believers at this time, right, they speaking the same language, but it's not necessarily the same language. It's if you're speaking Spanish, you can understand me through Spanish.
Okay.
Even though Jerry may be German, he I'm speaking, he's hearing German, vice versa. To me, that's what tongues is. But people have said that it is a heavily private language that all of us could have, and it's separate. So like your language to God is different than Jeremy's and vice versa. And it's supposed to be in an interpreter around so that we can make sure you're not devil worshiping in the middle of a church. Or it should be something that was useful and beneficial to the church, which means if you start, let's say in this light language that you're using, when you're starting to speak in it, I should be able to understand and tell everybody at the beach, it's about to rain in 30 minutes. We need to get out of here. I don't know. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's a debate around that, but it still should be, to me, when you have kids with gifts and now adults with gifts, explore it to see, all right, God, why are people experiencing this? What is the purpose of this? Is this to help humanity? Is it help the church? Is it help better people? I always tell people that psychics and prophets are the same. They just, one uses for the Christian and one doesn't.
Yeah.
One gets paid and one technically should not be getting paid. And I say technically because y'all see the infomercials. Like I see them.
Miss Cleo.
Yeah. Like you got Miss Cleo and then you got, you know, a prophet that says buy this, you know, this handkerchief that I pray over and you'll be okay.
You got to have that merch, you know, that prophet merch.
That was supposed to be the difference, but now it's blurred. But I like to your point, Dustin, I truly believe that God gives everybody gifts from birth. Now, he doesn't take gifts. If you go back to Adam and Eve, even though he punishes them, he never takes his gift. Look, he kicks Satan out of heaven. He doesn't take his gifts. Now, he does say, when you die, I'll give your anointing or your spirit or reputation of your gift maybe to your protege or somebody. And every now and then, like, and you see late in Revelations, he'll say, I'll blow your gift out, which means, you know, I'm going to get rid of you. But he doesn't, I don't see a lot of places in the Bible where he takes people's gifts. So if y'all, think about it, y'all was experiencing this as kids.
Right.
So you didn't want this?
Well, I mean, as a kid, I used to think I could speak to animals. I did that all the time.
Do you still think you can speak to animals? Like Dr. Doolittle type speak?
They don't talk back like that, though. I wish.
Maybe
I wish
more of a like Caesar that. Milan.
Right. I wish it was like that. But it's not. It's more of like a, like we were talking, like a spiritual connection.
Mm-hmm.
Because as, like, what? God is everything and everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Okay. So we are also everything and everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are, I have a story. So
okay.
As a child, I was, I rode horses, did it all the time, never scared, fell off, got kicked, all kinds of stuff, never scared. So we went to like this horse farm or whatever, and there was this corral panel and they had wild Mustangs in there.
Wow.
And they were like, oh, don't go near that corral panel. You know, those horses bite and they kick and blah, blah, blah. You know, she doesn't need to be over there. And of course, my parents are like, show me the horse you want me to buy.
Right, right.
And I'm just standing over there staring at them. And like, I'm just, as a child, of course, I'm like sneaking closer and closer to the corral panel. And I finally get close enough and like, I can see my grandpa talking to the other guy. And I'm just standing there at the corral panel, like staring at this one specific Mustang and like in the eyes. And like, I just feel like the sorrow, like they're sad, they're scared, they're not where they're supposed to be, they want to be free. Like, and I remember as a child that like it was a very sad feeling.
How old were you?
I don't know, probably like 7, 8,
jeez,
like 9.
Well, I mean, they say that kids and animals are the same, you know, as far as their openness,
right?
Their ability to, you know, a lot of times when you, the connection, I mean, a lot of times you see where kids and animals, you know, it's almost like they're having their own conversation,
right?
You know, and they like probably could be telepathically or whatever. I mean, because, you know, it's not until you start growing up and strip it away literally, right. I mean, you know,
stripping it away.
I mean, your parents strip it away. I mean, you know, even because unfortunately, with the world that we live in, you know, you can't, you know, run around in your butterflies and ponies kind of reality. You have to actually be
all the time.
Well, I mean, you still have to be in reality of this screwed up world we live in. Yeah. I mean, so, I mean, it's kind of a natural progression of just stripping it away. You know, and I mean, that's just kind of the way it goes, because you start to question things too. And I think when your mind starts to question things, that you kind of strip it away from yourself a little bit too. And that's just a natural progression. I don't think animals ever really hit that progression, you know, so I don't think that they
maybe
really
the ones
ever
at the zoo.
Well,
right.
I got a whole thing. There's a whole.
Oh my God.
There's a whole reason.
Now, did
I'm
you
not
calm the Mustang? I'm curious.
So
what happened to the Mustang?
It walked to me, and I was able to pet it.
And I know the guy freaked out.
Yeah, he did. He was like, "Oh my!" He starts running over there, like, you know, like something was wrong. And I'm just like, have my hand on the horse, and I look over, and it's like I broke concentration, and then the horse like backed up and ran off. But also, this guy is running toward
yeah
me.
Yeah.
So he really broke the connection, really.
Right. And so, like,
then my but did he see you touch it?
Yes, he
and
did.
And what did he say?
He was amazed. He was like, "Oh my gosh!" He was like, How did you do that? What did you do? Well, you know,
nobody's
like
been
that
able to do anything with him, right? Nobody had been able to do anything.
No,
with
him. Yeah, they have, like, they were fresh off the farm.
Wow,
so to speak.
Yep.
So
she had that connection with animals, and I had that connection with trees and the wind and things like that.
So when you say you had it, because to me, I think the animal one to us makes a little bit more sense. But can you break down the tree connection, the wind connection for us?
The one is goes back to there was a tree on that property that I grew up on, a really old tree next to the swing set where we were sitting. And in the same day that we were talking about the tree across the street, I had gotten up and touched that tree, that old tree behind us. And the tree was really, really old, and it was leaning and everything. And I remember telling her that I could feel that tree sadness. I can feel how sad and old this tree is. The reason this tree is seeping so much tree sap is because it's sick.
Yeah.
And I didn't even know and remember until my aunt told me, like, 2 days ago when I talked to her on the phone, my grandfather ended up cutting that tree down because it was dying. It was sick. And they ended up cutting it down. But I used to be able to feel stuff like that and connect. Like, I could feel those in trees.
Used to or still can?
I don't know that I can right now. I think I'll be able to. I do think I will be able to again.
When's the last time you felt that?
It's been a while since I felt that, since I actually went over and tried.
Are we talking like you were a teenager before that, after that?
What? Yeah, probably preteen, yeah.
Do you ground yourself then?
Huh?
Do you ground yourself? You know what grounding means?
I've started meditating again.
You know what grounding means?
Yeah.
You got to make sure you guys, you know. I learned what grounding was during COVID, so.
Oh.
Shout out to my white friends. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm learning all that now.
Yeah. Cause it just baffles me a little bit that y'all have these interesting connections. We can't trace your family back. And yet I would say that it's more people in your family that's doing this.
I mean, I think that there are. I think that there's more people in our family that know how to do things. I think there's more people in our family that's been given gifts. And I think that there's those people are afraid to talk, because like me, I didn't know that there was anybody else in my family that, you know, had experiences like me.
So what made you
like I was sent to Dustin?
How? Yeah. What do you mean?
Just out of the blue. She just messaged me one day.
So you felt like something was pulling you to talk to him?
Absolutely.
Like, so you having these astral projections, you see this dream with the little black figure watching everybody creepy.
All right. So it wasn't, I didn't get like a, wasn't getting like a scary feeling. The figure is more of just like grinning. Like
you don't think that's creepy?
I don't.
In a dream, I'm grinning at you in the background?
No, I don't. Because it was more of like a joyful grin.
Okay. Not like a sinister grin.
Right. Not like a sinister.
Okay. Because I think so grinning is sinister. I'm sorry, I'm negative.
Right.
Okay.
So, once Dustin said that he saw the figure, I kind of opened up a little bit more and was like, this is what I see. He's grinning. He's reaching out to us. He's trying to put his hands on our shoulders, like to bring us together. And so I...
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, and Emory Education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
So the figure is trying to put y'all together.
Right. So, like, he cannot get close enough to us.
Right, right. Obviously. Okay.
So, like, he's, like, wanting to. Like, I feel it, you know?
Okay, and he's just like... So, is it... Okay, this, I just want to see Lion King this week, so I'm big.
I love that movie.
No, I want to see... Yeah, the movie is awesome.
Yes.
You want to watch the live one?
Yep, and Fox.
I don't like that.
And the Fox.
I like the live one.
You got to go to the Fox and see it. I'm gonna tell you why. It's a very African, you know, it's Lion King is African based.
Right.
All
right.
And the more I watch that movie, the more I realize this has never been for kids. This has always been for adults.
Yes.
And it's not a bad message for kids to get early. I mean, if you listen to Scar songs, he talks about being prepared, even though he's talking about killing his brother, he's talking about being prepared. Something we need to do.
Yeah.
But if you listen to Mufasa and Simba's interaction, they talk about we're all connected.
Yeah.
And he says, we die, we go to grass, the antelope eat the grass, and then we eat the envelope, and this is a big, here you go, famous, the circle of life.
I was going to say, I'm sitting here going, my favorite song in the whole movie is the circle of life.
Everybody says, and I say, no, Scar's song is the best. Even though he's talking about killing his brother, be prepared. Like, that is my theme song. I'm going to put that as my ringtone.
It is a good song.
I'm wondering if y'all should not dive a little bit more into African type, Native American type cultures where they felt like this, where they felt like there is this specific tie to nature that it breeds gifts. I'll be honest, in the Christianity standpoint, they would never say you're connected to nature. They say you're connected to God, and then, you know, they'll use, you know, God's connected to everything, but they would never say, oh, you can, you know, talk to a tree.
The only two connections I know of that we have to Native Americans is on my grandfather's side. His family were connected to either Creek Indians or Navajo Indians. I don't know which one.
Did you? So on your ancestors?
And then on our other great-grandfather's side, or my great-grandfather, I don't know what Estelle was to her, but she was my great-grandmother. Her husband was part of Native American.
So this is interesting. My great-grandmother was definitely Native American. She told us. But on my ancestry.com, it says I'm 0%.
Yeah.
And so I always baffled by this because they have pictures of our family in our full Native American getup. And my DNA says no.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I think y'all should. Have you seen that part of your origin and they show you all the different countries you're from?
Yes.
Did it say Native American at all?
Mm-mm.
Okay, I know this may be weird to say. Did it say anything African based?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Mine was mainly,
Europe,
England,
yeah,
Ireland, that area.
See, I got a lot of Germany and a lot of Ireland.
Me too.
I got a lot. Hey, don't say that, Jeremy. It's not good. That's good for us, but historically not good.
I'm just a little lighter.
We may be distant cousins, and we know how we became cousins. But that's, I just always think that, like when I hear people talk about, I'm on Furley, because Caitlin, you said you're spiritual. So do you do crystals? Do you do, what's the spectrum of your spirituality?
So I think that across like all of it, it all has the common thing that we are all one.
Okay.
Okay. So like, I don't want to say the wrong thing, so correct me. Okay. If I'm wrong. So, like, you have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
So far, you're right.
Right. So, like, that is part of us.
Okay.
So, like, our soul is part of the Holy Ghost.
I remember having this conversation.
It's like a comforter.
I mean, okay, when you say a part of us, but is it defined? Because I would say, yeah, generally speaking.
Like our soul.
Yeah.
So we would say that. It would be said that the very pneuma of God, the very breath of God is in this.
Right. That's what gives us life.
Right. Absolutely.
Right. Okay.
So that's what you're talking about more so, the pneuma, like the very life of God, the breath of God.
Right.
But y'all would call, but in the spiritualization world, they would call it soul.
Right. Yeah.
Semantics.
Yeah. So when me and her had this conversation, I told her that I've always believed that I've always looked at it as it says in the Bible, I breathe my life into you. So he breathed his life into me.
He created me in his image. I'm connected to him. When you have the Trinity, you have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
If he breathed his life into me, and I'm connected with him through my soul, he created the earth, he created the land, he created the wind, he created everything. All this is his creation. I am one with him.
And what, see, and that, I think, that line, and I'm just not me, that line can be very, what's the word, Jeremy, in Christian church, Southern Baptist, that line is very,
they call it blasphemy.
Yeah,
they call it blasphemy.
I wouldn't call it blasphemy, but it's like a trigger line almost. You know what I mean? Like, you're like when your parents say, hey, you're going to get a whooping.
Yeah.
That's not the whooping yet, but it's very triggering for you because you can think about the whooping, right? I think when people hear that, they hear that you are God.
No, I'm not God. I'm not.
But I'm saying that's, I'm trying to think what, because in my mind, I'm like, it makes logical sense. It's just how we're wording it. But then I think if the narrative is pushed further, which is because I entangled of sorts with the Holy Spirit, Jesus, God, or whatever, I am them. Then I think that's when Christians start. Like, whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Put the brakes on.
That's why I've always said they would look at my beliefs and what I feel, and they would say, I don't know that you're really a Christian.
Well, but you know,
it's not really your choice.
But let me tell you,
it's not really your choice to tell me that.
I'll tell you this. It's like, you know, it's like I've told Trey 100 times, you know, when we've talked about different things, and I've even told you too, when we've been talking about it, is that, you know, your walk with, you know, and your Christianity is your walk.
Right.
You know, because when you start breaking down all the translations and everything, so much has been lost over the years.
Mm-hmm.
So you can, as a pastor, you can preach on what you believe is in there. And that's why it's so important for you to find a church that, you know, not just aligns with your beliefs, but that aligns with Jesus and,
right,
and kind of what, where you're at with that. And just because you think something,
yeah,
you know, that's not like what you're doing to me is not like sinful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, if you're trying to say, oh, I should be able to, you know, do drugs and beat my kids and, you know, whatever, and still go to heaven. You know, you might be able to find a church that aligns with that, but that doesn't mean that that's the right thing, you know. But what you're saying and what you've, you know, what we've kind of been talking about, I don't think I haven't seen where it goes against anything in the Bible.
I'm not saying anything.
It feels John the Baptist.
Yeah, I mean, and so
like
for people to say that that's going to send you to hell, I would steer clear. You know,
no,
I would steer
very much.
What I'm trying to say is where people are going to get real cringy on it is they have a bad outlook on magic. Magic's in the Bible. Everything that I'm saying that I believe, it coincides in the Bible. And it coincides.
Why would you call it magic?
I don't see the magic side of it.
It mentions magic like 37 times.
No, I'm not saying it doesn't. I'm saying
like, what you're talking about, I don't feel like
it's
magic.
No, I'm just saying they
called it that.
Yeah.
Okay.
They look at it as
witchcraft.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, they do. They do. Because
are you a warlock? Are you a warlock?
No.
Okay. See, if you're trying to find a church that aligns with you being a warlock,
they have
that's not the church that you want to be a part of, right, because that's not Christianity.
And I don't think you would call it, and you're, see, that's what I think for me is the problem with, is most people look at the Bible and they look at it from the lens of which somebody gave it to them. They don't say, okay, it's like I always tell people, it's stuff I read and I'm like, what is this? Like, why is this here? And then I just don't understand it. So I sit with it. I'm like, there's nothing I can do with this. So I just sit with it. Because
yeah,
I don't know. First of all, God hasn't told me yet. It hasn't been revealed to me. That probably never will, because he doesn't have to do anything. But I don't cast it away and say, because I don't understand it, this is the devil.
Right.
Instead, I say,
right,
all right, God, when I meet somebody who has an idea about this, we're going to have a great conversation, because I don't have a lot of questions. Because
I'm just going to table this until
I'm good. Right. I'm good. I don't know. And what I always tell people, because it baffles me that your experience has been.
Because that's where negative. I grew up.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the religion I grew up in. Yeah. Of,
I get it.
That stuff, that's bad stuff. It's witchcraft's bad stuff.
But then your grandmother.
And look at, and you ask me, am I a warlock? No, I'm not a warlock. But if someone has the ability to do magic, to me, I look at it as, that's a gift that's been given to you. But because you have free will, you have the free will to use that for darkness, or you have the
What would you consider magic?
I was literally about to ask that because I'm like, are we talking about chainsawing people in half on stage? Because I've seen some America's Got Talent that's like wow, you know?
I'm talking about.
Or illusionist. Angel to me is like, bro, I don't know what he is.
Are we talking about that levitating dude? Right. What is that guy?
That's Chris Angel or the other guy, David Blaine? Or
yeah, David Blaine. So
are you talking about those people? Or are you talking, what do you say magic?
You know what I'm talking about when I talk.
I do not.
No, I mean, literally, I don't, what are you talking about?
Spells. Somebody that can do spells.
Well, see, I don't consider that. I don't. Maybe magic to me has been dumbed down to what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
That, see,
like with a spell book. Like I'm.
If
like,
somebody says, "Oh, they're into black magic. They're into dark magic. They're into dark magic because they chose to use it for darkness, or they chose to use it for the wrong thing."
What? Okay. So what y'all describing to us prior to that, I don't see as magic.
Right.
Now that's what you're describing magic. now what you're talking about to me is a form of.
Witchcraft,
yep. Which I don't even consider magic. Mm-hmm. I would say it's the Ouija board stuff.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, that's different stuff.
So that's what I'm saying. Like I think to your point, throughout history, Christians have, you know, have easily, when they can't figure something out, they're going to say they're going to throw it into the witchcraft bucket.
Yes.
And I'm like, hey, let's slow down with dumping stuff into that bucket. Because some of this stuff may be stuff we just haven't seen in a while as far as Christian. Like, if you had a vision right now and you called me and said, hey, Trey, I had a vision about your family. The house is on fire. It spooked me. I just want to give it to you. I'll give you a prime example. I think I do have the gift for prophecy. I just don't call it that because I hate claiming gifts. Yeah. I don't want the gifts. Like, I don't even want the gift of preaching or teaching. Have it. Don't want it. I just want to play PlayStation. I mean, Xbox better and stream.
PlayStation's better.
Sure. It was, but now I got my friend's Xbox. So guess what y'all getting for Christmas? So y'all can play the game with me. But for instance, I give you a problem. It's a guy at our church, Collis. He used to own a wing shop, right? And it's right down the street from my house. So I go there and it's like right before Christmas. And I said, hey, Collis, man, y'all doing numbers tonight? Y'all selling a lot of wings, bro. This is crazy. And I'm like, hey, man, like, do you have protection and stuff? Because, like, y'all making a lot of money. And, like, bro, like, just make sure you're good. I get my food and I leave. That same night, he gets robbed.
Oh, wow.
And he calls me and says, it's your fault. I'm like, bro, I didn't set you up. It has been so many situations like that where my oldest daughter, when she was pregnant with her second child, I'm on my computer working. I'm writing a paper for school. She leans back and like this much of her stomach is showing. I say, oh, snap, you pregnant again? When did that happen? And I go back to typing. That is the conversation. Like 2 weeks later, she calls my wife and says, I'm pregnant.
Your intuition.
See.
It's your intuition.
At first, I thought it was that.
Absolutely.
And it has happened like 1,000 times.
Yeah.
Where I'll sit here and say, they know about the situation. My house got shot up, right? Prior to my house getting shot up, my wife is having a conversation with our middle daughter, and I go downstairs. I'm playing video games. Here, God says, go tell your wife that whatever she's doing, she's going to either end up in dead or in jail. Tell her to stop doing what she's doing. So, God, I'm not saying that. I'm not telling people. I don't like, right. don't send me that stuff. Send me, right. Give me the lotto numbers. Yeah. If you want to prove that this is a gift, watch this. And I don't tell people similar to you because I'm like, this is weird.
Yeah.
I go upstairs because God says he won't leave me alone. I'm not playing good on the game now because I'm just hearing his voice over and over. I get up. I say, hey, whatever Maya's doing, she ended up dead in jail. God told me to tell you that. I'm going downstairs. You don't believe me? Ask my wife. Because
she's probably like, what?
No,
you're walking away?
She's so weird about it. She's like, oh, because she knows.
She better do it.
Yeah. And so, you know, of course, she calls Maya, and Maya's like, oh, I'm not doing nothing. I'm just having to do it me. 2 days or 3 days later, a house gets shut up. And the guy was looking for her.
Yeah.
Oh.
And it almost took you out in the process.
It almost took me out in the process. And it was some more stories that happened about that, how God told me later, like a week before, I'm walking, trying to get in shape. Me to probably get back to doing that. And God speaks and says, hey, I need you to get in tune with me now. I said, God, I am in tune with you. I'm like 95% there. I don't do anything. I barely drink. I don't do anything. I don't smoke or do anything. I just play video games and take care of my family and go to work. And teach at church. This is as bland of a life you can get, God. He said, no. I said, you know, we got a little lust problem, like looking at women a little bit too long, probably, or something like that. He said, I need all of it. I was like, God, I just scroll up on Instagram, like, oh, she looks nice. Stop doing that. Okay, it's not doing anything. I give up everything.
Don't you love it when he calls you out?
Yeah, he does. And I was like, man, it's a little bad. It's not big bad. This is a little bad. And so I give it up. And kid you not, similar, I'm going upstairs the night of the house about to get shot up, and I hear a voice say, stop right now and get water. And then I got a disgusting taste in my mouth. Like, I just brush my teeth. I floss every night.
Right.
He said, no, do it now. I stop and get the water, and I get like a little kitty cup because I don't want to do it.
Right.
By the time I finish the kitty cup, which is like a shot, the house is getting shot up. One of the bullets hit the stairs. I would have been on the stairs.
Right.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So it's like you start to realize that it is some gifts here.
Yeah.
That you don't, I wouldn't call that prophecy. I was like, God is just talking to me. And what if God is doing the same thing there? I can't say, as a believer, as a person who studied the word, I can't say, that's witchcraft. These astral projection gifts. What is this? Because I don't understand it. You're going to hell.
Right.
I might go there first if I don't flow my rope.
Right.
So, yeah. I mean, when you start talking about potions and all that stuff, though,
I may lean into a little witchcraft.
It could be a little witchcraft. But I mean, then again, when you think about our modern day medicine, it's almost the same thing. It's like it's been a man-made thing that you take
money off of it.
Well, I mean, it's not just the making money, but I mean, you take a pill and your nose stops running.
Yeah.
You take a pill and, you know, your heart slows down. You take a pill and, you know, whatever. You take a
shot.
Your
blood pressure comes down.
Yeah, I mean, like there's...
The flu shot.
Right. I mean, there's so many different things that, you know, have been created. Yeah, I mean, experiments. You know, that have been created for the, you know, human race and, or just who, I mean, even animals. I mean, you think about how many medicines people feed their dogs now too.
Right.
And, you know, it's all kind of some sort of potion in a lab somewhere. But again, it goes back to what you were saying of, you know, black magic or using it for bad. You know, I mean, if you're, you know, like voodoo dolls and all that stuff, you know, like even when I've been in, you know, when we took that trip to New Orleans, I felt such a heavy spirit in New Orleans besides the smell of pee. I mean,
smell was awful.
Terrible place. But
I've been there.
I mean, just the, you know, I don't know, the air was so thick.
The air feels sticky.
I mean, it really did. And it's like I wanted to wash it off of me. Yeah. And it wasn't just the smell, it was just it was almost like it was a thickness of
the, you know, energy.
Isn't that like the voodoo capital of you know what they call the voodoo capital or
States,
something
maybe.
Yeah, that's
maybe
what I'm talking about of the United States, like
mostly the voodoo queen lived there.
So like thinking about like the potions and stuff like that, it always just makes me think of like vegetable soup. I'm like, vegetable soup is a potion. Why do you make vegetable soup? It makes you feel better.
Mm-hmm.
You make it when it's cold outside, when you're not feeling good. You put all different kinds of ingredients. You put carrots, potatoes, all of these things. And like back in the olden days, they made it in a huge cauldron.
Right. Look, I see what you did there.
Yeah.
I would say, when you talk about stuff like that, I don't think that's what we think of when you think of black magic.
Right.
Even though natural type medicines, right? The herbs, the mixing of this, the doing this, may be potionist. But I don't think people would go that far to say that my great grandma or big mama and them, they was doing
black magic. I think what Dustin's saying is like almost where do you draw the line? Because the thing is that so you have, you know, like even like the essential oils that everybody uses. Okay, it's like, okay, mix this oil and this oil, and boom, your feet stop hurting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you know, I'm not saying it doesn't work.
I'm saying
I think what, you know, to what Dustin was saying a little while ago is like, where do you almost draw the line from? This is, you know, clean magic versus like, you know, I'm using these things for good versus I'm using these things for bad. Is that where you draw the line? Like, right. so these, you know, like a chemical bomb almost, okay, that's almost the same thing. It's a potion made up, and it causes, you know, like a chemical warfare. So that would be something that would be used for bad. That's bad. But if you're, you know, mixing your, you know, lavender and your, you know, spearmint or whatever they call it, you know, and boom, your sinuses clear up. Good magic, you know. I mean,
that's what I was just fixing to say
is you were saying, well, when I think of witchcraft and I think of that, I don't look at it. I don't see it that way.
Right.
Because you were programmed to see it this way.
I don't know, man. The Ouija board is pretty. I'm just saying the Ouija board is pretty evil.
Well, I mean, that's where. I mean, that's a no-no.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. But and the reason I say that you are programmed to see it that way is because we were all programmed to look at witchcraft and say it's associated with this side of it, and it's bad. But it's also associated with this side of it, too.
And I guess I need a little more, because, okay, to your point, is I am seeing it through a very Christian perspective. And I think when I like, to Jeremy's point, is like, when I hear concoctions of medicine or, like, you put this with this, like, I try to eat or do more clean. Like, 6 months out of the year, I try to eat clean. And one of the things I do is I read so much stuff about, if you put this fruit together, you get this. If you put turmeric and lemon in this, it's going to clean you out like this. And if you're calling those a potions and that's good magic, then I would say, okay, yeah, there's certain, if you're calling in that, I wouldn't call it that. Once again, I think it's a semantics thing, but I'm like, okay, cool. I can rock with a good potion because it's good for my body. It's natural. It's herbal. That's the words you'll say instead of good right. potion.
Yeah.
And Ben, if you're talking about, you know, a person with a spell book or a voodoo doll and saying, I'm trying to make Jeremy run off the road this week.
Please don't do that. I don't have OnStar, remember?
Right. We'll find you. Right. But that, I would say then that was, to me, that's just evil, period.
Yes, it is. But think about it from this standpoint, too, of Native Americans. They had their witch doctors, right? Or their
herbal doctors.
Shaman.
Mm-hmm.
If you were sick, you go to the shaman. His job is to connect with the spirits to make that person better. Correct?
I guess so, yeah.
Okay. The reason you have a bad negative outlook on witchcraft is because also the other people who wanted to go to the shaman
mm-hmm.
to get something negative from him also did that. So they say, okay.
Okay, I see what you're saying. I see what you
okay, mean. So they look at all the negative stuff, and they don't look at all the good stuff they did for people.
So like, okay, as I told you, I watched The Lion King, so Rafiki will be a shaman.
Right.
Yeah, he exactly. is, absolutely.
Yes.
I don't know if I like that. But he was.
He was, absolutely.
He was mixing stuff yep. all the time. Yep. He was absolutely. Kind of seeing the future.
Uh-huh. Yep.
That's what I'm saying. You yeah. hear about all the negative stuff that comes with it, but you don't hear about the good stuff. Because they could do good stuff.
Can you just, so from your hybrid view, can you see where the problem is? And okay, wait, you know what? I might have answered this in my head. It's like bad preachers, good preachers.
Right. Yep, exactly.
You get people who will never step foot into a church because they're going to say, all they do is talk about money.
Well, you have yeah. outlooks on cops.
Oh, you same. Same.
You have good cops, you have bad cops.
But then, thanks to our American media, you're only going to hear the stories about...
Only hear the bad ones.
But right. every now they do good on...
Every now and then.
Channel 2, they do good every now and then. I'm right. like, oh, that's a good one.
Saved a kitten from the tree, you know.
Or maybe saving babies. They showed them saving babies now. It was one, I was like, man, that cop took it. It was a black baby. He took the baby. White cop. And I was like, this never make national news. And he was saving the crap out of the baby. I was like, dang. And he saved the baby. And he was
yeah.
like, and he ended up buying them a whole bunch of kids supply. I mean, like children's supply stuff. I'm like, dang, this is really good. He went beyond. He saved a life. That's good enough. But like to your point, yeah, I can see where you're going with it.
Yeah,
I can rock with it. Okay, yeah, that's crazy.
Well, I think this has been good.
Yeah, yeah.
I think this has been good. Anybody have anything else on this episode?
Well, Trey asked me about like what was it like. What, like crystals and
yeah.
What was the question
again? Yeah, like what? So, are you into crystals and all that, or how do you get down?
So I do. I do have crystals.
Uh huh.
And I do some tarot cards.
Uh huh.
And
see, that's what Christian would say. It would start exactly. drawing a line. I got you. Uh-huh. Got you. Uh-huh.
And so that's why Dustin brought up like tools can be used for both.
Uh huh.
So it really depends on like where you're at.
Okay.
Your connectedness.
Uh huh.
To be able to know how you're using those.
Okay.
So for people where like in my family, mm-hmm. I reach out to my cousins and I'm like, hey, let me pull some cards for you or whatever. And they're like, no, I'm so scared.
Right.
And it's like, why are you scared? What are you scared of? It's like, right. I'm not going to do anything that's going to hurt you.
Right.
Because I love you.
Right.
And I just want to give you advice if you need it.
Right.
And a lot of people that like do tarot cards, uh-huh. like have a certain layout they do. Or pull off the top or like have like certain practices, whereas I make it my own
uh-huh.
because it just flows better for me.
Okay, I got you.
So
is it, so for the people who don't, because the Christian worldview is like, I'm telling you right now, my mom, like, no, you better not touch a tarot card in your life. That's just, it's a, I don't know. To
you
me,
shouldn't touch the tarot card.
I don't want to. To me, and so in, at least in my culture of, you know, Southern African-American, because I know it's other black people that don't mess with tarot cards, it's Ouija board, tarot cards. Like, you didn't touch them. So I'm so for me, help me understand, well, what is the purpose of tarot cards? What do they do? Why do people do look at them evil?
Well, let me clarify the reason I said you shouldn't touch a tarot card. Uh-huh. It's because I don't want your energy on her cards. That's what I mean.
I'm telling you, I wouldn't touch them. If you bought me a pack, I'm like,
that's what I meant. That was sick. You shouldn't touch someone else's cards.
Is that a rule?
There's even a movie about it.
Yeah. A movie about tarot cards?
Yeah.
About touching somebody else's?
Uh-huh.
Those
people start dying.
See? It doesn't help it doesn't help my narrative.
You're not helping the argument here, Caitlin.
No, this is exactly why we don't touch them.
I get it, but that's what I'm saying is, like, society wants you to be scared. Why? Why do they want you to be scared?
Because you just said it, people are dying.
And that's how they control you, with fear. You cannot
fear. I agree what you're saying. But can you convince me right now why tarot cards are not evil?
It's a tool.
Mind is also a tool.
Listen,
I might not be the right person, because I'm scared of guns too. And I say scared of guns, I'm saying that loosely. I can shoot. I'm pretty all right. But I'm saying, like, I don't own a gun, because
tarot cards is a tool for someone with a gift given from the higher power to use.
For what
you
purpose?
You can use that gift they're going to send messages to reveal to you what you need to know through those cards.
Would it be similar to the gift I just said I have, which is...
Exactly.
Which is without tarot. Oh, yes. My gift is without tarot cards, yours it may be with.
Yeah. Right, so I use the tarot cards because it's easier for people to understand where I'm getting the information.
Uh-huh.
Because it's a physical thing. People don't believe if they don't see.
So then do you need the tarot card to tell somebody that? Or are you just using that for them?
I mostly use it for them.
So, for instance, right now, if you feeling like the higher power for you is telling you something about me, you can just tell me.
I mean, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I'm in the same boat as Trey. That's like, you know, that's no for me. But so I don't really know anything about it. So, I mean, are you shuffling the deck and looking for what you're looking for? Or is it pick one off the top?
So that's what I was saying. Like, I don't pick off the top. I shuffle them and shuffle them and shuffle them.
So you're looking for what you already know. You're just looking for the proof.
And is it chance? Like, how does this work? Yeah. I don't know. So I'm asking.
The energy, what you're channeling.
Okay.
Is what I'm going to call it.
Okay.
Is pulling out what needs to be said.
Okay. Okay.
I'm not pulling it out. It's kind of like you said, it's chance.
So you say, okay. So when you say, see that word right there, the energy, that's what scares Christians. Because if we thinking if it's coming from this, and this I'm just saying from the Christian perspective, it's either God or not God. And that not God is...
What's an example of something that's in a tarot card? Like, you're going to be pregnant in a week or something? Like, what's the... What is it? I don't even know.
I know there's a death card up in here. I know that.
So the death card is... They say, like, they put negative energy towards it, but the death card is not a bad card. It's, like, showing new growth, new besides opportunity... Like, there's an end of a cycle, and you're going to come out onto a new cycle kind of thing. It's not like your life is ending or something is tragically going to happen. It's just like there's going to be something that comes up.
And what's an example of another one?
That would shock us. Give us one that would shock us.
I don't know. So there's, like, lots of them in there that with, like, self-doubt.
I need to ask a question. I just need an example. I just need an example. It doesn't even have to be something that shocks me. Like, I just need an example because I have a question.
So there's, like, the tent, like, they have a major arcana, just like regular cards.
Uh-huh.
And then they have, like, different suits, which is like the swords, the wands, and the cups. And they all stand for something different. So, like, the swords is more of like overcoming or conflict or like something like that. Whereas, like, cups is like yourself. Like, your they always say, you, yeah, like the cup overfloweth, like you're full, or you're limiting yourself.
So have you been in a situation where in your mind you're seeing this person needs a sword, but you pull a cup because you're randomly pulling? And then at that point, do you go with the cup or do you put the cup back and try again?
So I recently did a reading where a lot of times whenever I'm shuffling, if my mind wanders to something that's going on, a card will come out that regards that situation. And
say it again.
Okay, so I was doing a reading. My phone goes off and it's my husband.
Gotcha.
So I get distracted off base of what I'm doing.
Okay.
Then I'm thinking of my husband. A card comes out and it's the lover's card, which has nothing to do
with that person.
With that person or what I'm trying to do. And I immediately know that that card is for me.
Oh, wow.
Because that relates to me. I feel my connective energy with that.
So do you put this card back or you put it to the side and then pull again or what's
I'll put it back in the deck and keep shuffling.
So the cards kind of are...
They jump.
Conduits of your energy.
Yes. There you go.
See, I'm using the words that I know that would trigger. It's going to be Christians who listen to it. It's like, why aren't they burning them? To your point. Yeah. Because I'm like, okay, this is interesting. Because I think it's not even this. I think you might have the gift of privacy, right? And I think the tool, there you go, that you use it is what scares people.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly it.
And I'm not terrified, but I'm like, hey, you know.
But honestly, why does it scare you though? It's because you don't understand. You don't fully understand it. If you fully understood it,
For instance, I understand a lot of good stuff as far as the demon stuff that I told you about, but I don't go poke the devil either.
No,
you know what I mean. So it's like I'm more so like, okay, I can understand tarot cards. I might have a little, you know, better understanding, but I'm probably never going to get a reading.
Nope.
it's not, you know, do your thing.
No, I get it.
Yeah, but I'm more so like, it's still spooky. And in my growing up, it's always been associated with either voodoo or, excuse me if this is a bad word, gypsies. I just don't know. I got to be political.
Wait,
correct.
Why is gypsy a bad word?
Hey, man,
I'm just wondering.
It's a lot of words we used to lose in the 90s that I can no longer use. And I have no idea where we stand political correctness. I just try to say, I'm not trying to offend anyone.
I'm fine with gypsy.
See, you're saying it loosely and without apologizing.
Hey, Stevie Nicks did a whole song about it, you know?
No, you know what?
A good song.
Trey is apologizing to my co-host using the word gypsy if it's offensive. If it's not, carry on. But yeah, you see what I'm saying? It's always been like, what's that movie? Thin. Was it Thin?
Thinner? Stephen King movie?
Yeah, yeah. And the guy who's big and kept getting smaller and smaller. But it was with the...
Why can that not happen to me?
You don't want that to happen.
I haven't seen that one.
Oh, you do not want that to happen. I mean, you probably get to a part where you're like, I'm good. But he kept going.
Like, oh, wow. A jerk.
Yeah, and he was. But did he get a tarot card reading or something like that in that movie?
He offended a gypsy. He wouldn't give her a loan.
Right, and I thought she played the cards and then gave.
He refused to give her a loan, and she cursed him.
Oh,
just like in that movie, Holes.
She touched his face. She touches his face, and she says something. And she
does. She does. She does. We said movies, Holes with Stephen LaBeouf.
Oh, I don't know.
Shia LaBeouf.
Shia Stephen LaBeouf. Shia LaBeouf. What's the movie Holes? Which movie?
Holes, where, you know, they have to dig the holes.
With Shia LaBeouf,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
They had a tarot card reading in it?
No, but it has a it had the curse. In it that cursed the people.
Yeah, the family. Stanley Yelnats. Yeah, you know, right. he was cursed.
It's gypsies are in a lot of movies. Okay, it's coming back.
Do you like Harry Potter?
I'm a Christian. We don't watch Harry Potter.
You can't watch Harry Potter.
I'm asking, did you like Harry Potter?
I'm a Christian. I don't watch them.
That's not answering my question. Did you like Harry Potter?
I love it. Yeah. It's very entertaining. I love it. Just if I could have, you know, magic powers, that would be awesome. If I could shoot a wand and do things, I think this stuff would be cool in the context of the movie. Absolutely.
Did you read the books?
They was banned in my school. But I do have two copies in my shelf.
There's real spells in the book.
That's what they tell me. Yeah. I mean, I don't read it. I don't say the spells out loud. I don't, and I'm not a world.
Reading them.
Yeah.
Reading right. them. Though.
I'm still a Christian, everyone. Just to let you know.
So am I. So am I. Just so saying, everyone knows.
No, we don't believe in Jesus anymore because you watch Harry Potter. I enjoy Harry Potter.
I'm good over here.
Whoa, Jerry.
My kids will tell you, we've never watched Harry Potter. They're like, I want to watch it. I'm like, nah, you good.
This is just, I say it's make-believe in my world, but I can see why people, I won't rush into it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
awesome. I learned something new.
Yeah, I mean, I did too. Honestly, that's fascinating. I've never actually talked to somebody who does that, so I appreciate you, you know, taking some questions from the ignorant folk. You know,
very ignorant folk.
That's kind of part of the reason I had so many questions about it. You know, as far as like, you know, because when I kind of grew up hearing about that, it was more of just the card is what tells you. Okay, so. Hearing that you kind of already have that, you know, intuition ahead of time, you know, it that's a little different. I don't honestly think everybody's in that position, you know, that plays in that playground. But, you know, who knows? I mean, you know, I just from what I've seen, I haven't seen that, you know, or heard that. So it's good to hear a different perspective about it. So
I've seen it. I mean, I've seen it. She does. I mean, the cards just fly out of the deck. She doesn't control that. So well, whatever.
See, you can't say stuff like that. Why? So she's sitting there and a deck just starts spitting out cards?
I'm saying that when you said
like that, it sounds like she's sitting there, her hands on the table. You're like, whoa.
No,
what?
No. I mean, like as she's shuffling the deck.
Okay.
As she's shuffling the deck, your card just comes out and lands.
So
just tell them about your experience whenever I did it for you.
Oh yeah, this we can wrap on this
she
one.
That's a reading for me. It was saying how I was, the cards that actually came out was saying how I'm transitioning. It actually said I'm coming to a point
that's
in my
a charge
life.
Word.
A terrible word.
That's a charge. That word is politically charged now. Take that one out of your dictionary. We can't
scratch that. Try again.
How you're changing?
How I'm moving from a point in my life to now I'm actually moving to a light. I'm actually leaving the darkness in my life and moving more toward the light.
Gotcha.
Did you get the death card? Is that what you called it?
It was an absolutely correct reading.
Was it the death card? No, I'm just asking. No.
He didn't get that in his reading.
And how many cards are in a deck?
72.
Oh, wow.
So, like, my hands are small.
Yeah.
So, it's hard to fit a bunch of cards in my hand like that.
So, how do you, because I have
Do you shuffle and bridge?
No, I can't do that.
I did something to my thumb. I cannot do that. My thumb won't even come out anymore.
Well, so much for your dreams of being a dealer in Vegas.
Oh, bro, never. That's like one-handed.
But her reading was spot on with everything that I'm actually going through with.
How did you feel afterward? Like, did you feel, because she does your reading. Let's say you go into this and you're feeling some type of way. Do you feel better or do you feel worse? What do you feel after you get the reading?
I mean, it actually just told me, it gave me clarity on what I was already thinking and what I was already feeling.
Okay.
And then to actually see that actually fall out there and her explain to me what the cards meant and then tell me of apply it to how what I'm going through. It was just, like I said, it gave me clarity. It was like, this is actually happening. And the way that it actually connected to those cards was.
Now, do you still go to church?
No, I don't.
I would say, there's no way you still go to church. You would definitely be banned from church.
Yeah, like back in the day, I asked too many questions. So, because I never really meshed well with our church. I just didn't. My mom made me go.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was forced to be there. So to like have something forced on you and then ask questions and then people not want to give you the answer or, you know, sit with God with it or pray about it or like that just wasn't a good enough answer to me.
Was what I told you, remember?
Yeah, and I said that's bad pastoring.
Terrible and I'm just pastoring. like I know, like I have a purpose. Like I'm here to do something. You don't just happen across. You know, just to be here. And so I've been told that my purpose is to help spread guidance.
Yeah.
To help bring people to that oneness, that connected energy.
Yeah.
To God or.
So, like, in a church sense, I would say you probably had gifts of being, like, a pastoral care type person, which is, I'm going to guide you and help you get through life.
Right. So, like I said, my life purpose is to help the vulnerable. So, like, that was, like, a distinct description, the vulnerable.
Gotcha.
So, which kind of relates to my life and, like, the people that have come in and out of my life, I've always felt the need to save them.
Gotcha. I got you.
So like to let them know that they're worthy, that they can create the life that they want. Mm-hmm. They have to work for it. They have to, you know, they're already there, but they're suffering. They're creating their own suffering.
Right.
And humans have been doing that for eons, creating their own suffering and just wallowing in it and being a victim instead of doing something about it and finding the balance between that suffering and that peace and knowing that yes, the past happened, but you're not living in the past. You're living right now. And as we change internally and our connected energy changes, we are changing our past. That's how come sometimes we remember certain things and sometimes someone will tell you a story and you're like, I don't remember it happening like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have changed. So we have to change our past to reflect how we are now. And a lot of people are also trying to live in the future and trying to plan ahead and trying to do all that. Why do you think that doesn't work? Because God has a plan. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to understand what the plan is or what happened to you. You're supposed to learn and grow from that. Not just be like, why is God doing this to me? And why is he making me suffer? Like, that's not what life is about. He's trying to teach you something. You're supposed to gain something from this, whether it be strength or patience or just a decision that you feel like you made. It's just, and fear has a lot to come into that too, is like being scared to talk out, which is one of my problems, is I have fear about talking out. So I'm an observer. So I sit and I observe people and how they interact because I can feel how they feel when they're talking about certain things. So like, for example, going to the grocery store or going to the mall is absolutely a nightmare for me. Mm-hmm. Because there's so many people there going through so many different things and I can feel almost all of it. And it's just very overwhelming. So like whenever I go out to go grocery shopping, I get home and I'm like, oh, I just need to go and sit outside or go cleanse or go ground or meditate. And meditation has really been like a big part of like giving myself love to myself, giving me myself time. Mm-hmm. And it's very important because if you're not aware of how things are triggering you or how your actions or emotions are feeding into your life, you're not really going to know how to harness those things and to transmute them into something better. And that's just a big thing that's been happening with me, and I'm trying to like explain that slowly to people that I feel like need to hear it. And that was a big reason why like I also reached out to Dustin. Was like, oh my gosh, I have to come on the podcast and try to talk to people this way. Because like I'm a very like people person, but I also am very sensitive to other people.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to be careful as far as like what I share, but I have to try to get them to open up to me before I can open up to them. Right. If that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because you don't want to say something that's going to trigger them to backlash. So just, and oh yeah.
I do feel like this is a message though that we both need to tell people, you know, because there's a lot of people that are probably going through the same thing or having the same experiences, and they're not sure what they're feeling or what they're going through, and they think that they're going crazy because they don't think that it's real, and it is. It is real.
Yeah. Well, I think that's going to end it for this episode. I appreciate everybody being on, and so next week we'll have a bonus episode in between, but next week is going to be our Halloween episode. I think we're going to dive into, speaking of witches, maybe a little bit of some Salem witch trials and a few other kind of hit the conspiracies from back in the day when they used to try to burn you at the stake because you were, you know, scary, you know, mm-hmm. God forbid you're scary, you know, kind of when you look at how many people were killed for not even, you know, being that is just insanity.
Yeah.
You know, population control back in the day. I don't
More like being framed.
But we thank everybody for listening, and we'll talk to you soon. And as always, like and subscribe. And if you have any questions, comments, concerns, feel free to hit the email up on the description, and we'll get you on. If you want to talk to us, we'll be happy to have you on. So thanks again, everybody, for listening.
Yep.
Remember, thanks for having me.
Truth's out there. Read between the lines.